This episode of Strangeful Things was brought to you in part by financial support from E-Corp. Together we can change the world with E-Corp. And by added support from listeners like you. Please visit patreon.com/strangeful to support the show. And thanks for listening.
And this one had me by the wrist, and he was holding my arm up, and he had something else in his hand. But I didn't like the looks of it. And I remember thinking, oh boy, here we go. This is it. I got 5 seconds to live. They're going to cut me open. They're going to dissect me, whatever. I just want to get out of here. Get me out of here.
I'm Acadia Einstein, and oh yes, there's going to be butt stuff, and this is Strangeful Thing.
If I had hated a little more, just a little more, we would have had a little less trouble.
Can't you see her? She's right in front of you.
So rather than investigate it, he was a true American and just shot it 3 times and ran up.
Oh my gosh.
Do you find those witnesses credible?
She walked down the hill and never came back. Her body has never been found.
I'm 100% Scully.
Oh, Mom, the boy in my closet. He's my friend.
Strangeful Things.
Holy shit balls, what show is this? Fancy Hollywood production where we have real theme songs written by composers.
Yeah, right?
It is. Yeah, it is, kids.
Hey, everybody. Fancy. That was a song that didn't exist until Jay Stevens thought it up in his head and then pushed it out of his fingers. Yeah. It's exactly. Our own theme song. None of you shitters better try and steal it for anything. And then Mixmaster Christy spent a long time over the mixing and everything like that. And it's awesome. And everybody is probably pretty jealous.
Yep.
Probably. Pretty jealous. Excuse me.
Now, just so you know, I'm Acadia Einstein. Here with my lovely fellow companions, Jen and Christy. I realize I don't have to, if I don't say your last name, I don't have to say it wrong.
That's
so
right.
So everyone wins, really.
You get it right every time.
There's only one of each of us. It's not like there's 7 Jens, so
yep,
we're good.
True. Well, in our
in
world.
The world so in the world, there's about
95%
6 billion.
Of people are named Jen.
Yes. This is true.
Even guys. So... if you want to follow us on things, you can follow me at Acadia. You can follow Jen at Jen Martinelli because she didn't sign up for Twitter the first day and get,
right,
Jen,
get Jen,
which would be pretty dope if you had. But
that would be.
At least I got my real name without any numbers and letters.
Somewhere there's bob@gmail.com.
I know. Hey, who is
I'm
that
excited.
Guy?
I'm excited because I have my real name every place. Gmail,
yeah.
Twitter, because I was early.
Right.
So I don't have like that's Jen what, Martinelli 1976 ABCDF or whatever.
The next generation is going to have shit left for new usernames.
I know. Yeah. It's all going to be like hex code.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right. I got a guy that since I'm 109 years old, but people that are in their 120s,
yes.
I don't know what it was, but they felt like it was important that they would put the year they were born in their username. Like, why?
Yes. I used to do that because that's like what other people did, or like the year I graduated from something. I just thought, like,
yeah. Either that or it was like to try to legitimately prove how old you were.
Ha! Yeah, well,
like
I wouldn't have done this.
Make it
my
up.
AOL name that I could just make another one in 2 seconds.
Right.
Wouldn't be
exactly.
This if I wasn't legit.
Jen Martinelli, 88, guys. 88. Yeah.
Wait, what was 88?
Nothing.
When
I was
you were
lying
born?
About when I was born. Yeah, I was lying. keep up, buddy. I know you're like on drugs or whatever.
I'm not on drugs yet.
I know.
I have to wait 9 minutes.
Oh, please. You're taking them in 9 minutes, right?
Oh, you're fucking right I am. I'm okay. Sick of having metal jammed in me. Oh, did somebody say metal jammed in them? Because
here we go.
Story today that takes place in Maine. And it has to do with aliens and the state of Massachusetts and art.
That's art. Art.
It might be a big fucking scam. So Scully Martinelli will be super happy.
Yes. Sweet.
And I guess we should just start our little journey right now.
All right.
Well, and butt stuff. A plenty.
Oh, yay.
And it's all going to go down in my home state of Maine. God, so let's learn a little bit of Maine geography. Because geography is like the best thing to do on a radio show. So picture in your head a map. Maine's so big that all the other New England states, New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and yes, Massachusetts, could fit inside it. It's the only state that only borders one other state. This will really help you if you're in that bar trivia where, like, everybody has a little...
Oh, yeah. Right? I'm going to kill at Gator's Dockside.
That's right. It also is the only state whose name is only one syllable, which doesn't really have anything to do with the story, but it's interesting.
I hadn't thought of that.
And... the important part for this story is not how big it is, but how empty it is too. 90% of Maine is just completely undeveloped.
Right.
As in, you can drive up to Canada in like one of 40 different ways, one that will probably kill you. There was actually a country song name that, like, the whole country song was written about this road, and it was called Tombstone Every Mile because the road was so treacherous that all these truck drivers always get killed on it in the winter.
Oh my gosh.
And the country singer's name was Dick Curless, and he only had one eye.
Oh,
and
my
all this because my cigarette smoking drinking family loved them some Dick Curless, and he was like, he had another song called Hogtown. You know,
of course he did.
I should find out where I can get his
Hogtown.
Album.
You know,
anyway,
as a southerner, I'm really intrigued that you have like one-eyed country music musicians. Yep. In New England.
Yep. We had one. we had that one guy. And I don't honestly know how famous he was, because in Maine, if you were famous on local TV, you might as well have been Burt Reynolds. Like, because we didn't have any other things. Maine also has 6,000 lakes and ponds. Because the lovely glacier that carved out all the top of America and most of America was especially generous to Maine in his little thing that it scooped out.
Let me get that for you.
Yep. And since the technical definition reader of the show, Jen Martinelli, has not read any technical definitions or any official information in like this entire season.
Which is a travesty.
It is.
It is quite a
travesty. We have not been transmitting actual learned knowledge to people because Explainer Jen has not
very sad
Jen-splained anything. Well, except that terrible. Everything is fake and the show should be canceled to me every episode.
Not that it should be canceled, just that it's fake.
So we're going to get the lowdown on what the difference between a lake and a pond is straight from the State of Maine's website.
One of the most frequently asked questions posed of biologists in the lake assessment section of Maine DEP is what makes an inland body of freshwater a lake or a pond. About half of the 6,000 lakes and ponds that have been assigned a state identification number have been named, many having two or three names. At least 30 have one name with the word lake in it and the other with the word pond. For example, Bryant Pond is also known as Lake Christopher, and Dexter Pond sports the name Wasukeag Lake. It is often these dual names that make folks wonder exactly where do we draw the line in Maine. Where do you draw the line in Maine, Acadia, on so many things?
Oh, it's a not where question. You guys would want me to draw it.
That's exactly
apparently
right.
Not.
Nope.
One classic distinction is that sunlight penetrates to the bottom of all areas of a pond, in contrast to lakes, which have deep waters that receive no sunlight at all. Another is that ponds generally have small surface areas and lakes have large surfaces. So a combination of surface area and depth are considered from a technical perspective.
Yeah. You know what?
But large versus small, like, where's the line? Like, what's considered large and what's considered small?
I like
small,
the sunlight, like, one. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that
yeah.
makes sense.
Like, a pond, the sun should be able to hit the bottom of the pond.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going with that. Fuck that other one. That's dumb. I mean, unless... If it was, like, the size of Lake Michigan, but only 3 feet deep...
It doesn't really seem like it should be a pond, does
that's
it?
That's a puddle.
That's a problem, is what it is.
Or what if you had one that was, like, 4 feet wide and, like, 60 feet deep?
That's a well.
Yeah, that is a well. That's true.
We don't have those here.
No, you don't. Because if you just dug a hole in Florida, you would pop it and it would sink.
That's and right. Then it would smell like rotten eggs.
Yep. Oh, poor Florida.
Poor Florida.
Yeah, that wasn't as helpful as I thought it would be. But we straightened it out. So, and I actually, as it's not your fault, it's the state of Maine's. They jumbled it up right at the end. Yeah.
They totally did. They didn't take a stance on anything.
Yeah, they're like, they so where like, do we draw the line?
It's kind of this or that or whatever.
Goddamn government lawyers.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I guess... The point is that in Maine, where there's 6,000 lakes and some of them are ponds, and even I lived on a pond. Like, when I grew up, I would walk out Fancy. My back out and there was a pond there. Like, go swimming and all that stuff and whatever like that.
So was it actually a pond?
This was a pond. It was called Pettingill Pond. Mm-hmm. And the campground that my family crest resode sounds better, I think.
I'm pretty sure it's resided, but
it was a pond as well, but it was way big, like it was super big. But there's not a lot of people in Maine. In fact, there's only 1 million people in all of Maine. And I know that's nothing compared to Alaska when we did Israel Keys, and there's only like 10 people in Israel. Right. I mean, in right. Alaska and Israel Keys killed 6 of them, and 2 of them are Sarah Palin.
Right.
And her husband, so that's pretty much all of Alaska. But in Maine, most of the 1 million people are right along the coast. And Portland is the biggest city. It boasts a whopping 60,000 people. So to put that in perspective, more people went to San Diego Comic-Con than live in the largest city in
Maine. Oh my gosh.
Actually, more people go to football games, like, regularly at big colleges, like Ohio State. The whole city of Portland would fit in their stadium. So,
jeez,
got that going for me. And that's the big
going for me.
North of that, there's Bangor. Now, that's where Stephen King lives. And when you see Derry in any of his books, it's actually Bangor. That's the substitute. He always calls Portland, but Bangor is Derry.
So that's where the clown is.
Huh?
Yes. Yeah,
Pennywise lives there. That is where. Yep. And after Bangor, nothing. Trees and lakes. Even Interstate 95, which is supposed to go from the top to the bottom, like after Bangor, it just veers off to the east, like to go to this.
Like other, jumps in the
it's
ocean.
Like, fuck it. Like, we're not going to go all the way up to the top to Aroostook County.
There's no point.
Yep. It doesn't want to go all the way. It goes off to the right. And if you look in the northwest of the state, if you've got your map handy, I hope you're not listening to this in the car. You should really be paying attention to the road. You will see the Allegash Waterway. That's Allegash. Sounds neat. Allegash. It actually sounds like a wizard name. We must bring
it does sound food. Like a wizard. I was trying to figure out what it sounded like.
Yeah, it's a wizard name.
It's either that's a wizard or like a weapon. Like a medieval Ooh. Weapon.
Oh, we must bring forth the Allegash and shove it in the dragon's gullet. Ooh, I like that.
What voice is that? That's a good one.
I don't know. I think I got possessed for a minute. Now, that's we have to see right. how salesy Christy can be, because she is going to tell all the listeners about the some of the interesting facts about the Allagash Waterway, also courtesy of the state of Maine. And if you don't want to go there after she's done explaining it, she failed.
Aww.
Great.
No pressure, oh, no. Christy.
Not that you want to go right? there, but that it sounds neat. How's that?
Okay.
The 92-mile Allagash Wilderness Waterway in northern Maine is one of America's preeminent canoe trips. Established by the Maine State Legislature in 1966 and designated by the U.S. Department of the Interior in 1970 as the first state-administered component of the National Wild and Scenic River System. Henry David Thoreau visited the Allagash region in 1857, guided by two natives of the Penobscot tribe, Joseph Addion and Joe Paulus. They made camp on Pillsbury Island in Eagle Lake near what is now the Thoreau campsite. The waterway's Native American heritage is found in the names of its places, such as Umsaskis Lake and Musquequook Stream.
Yep. Well, I'm sold. Except that I hate canoes.
My brain hurts after pronouncing those last two.
Musquequook.
Now is the part where I brag about how I did an 85-mile canoe trip.
What?
Well, then you almost did the entire Allagash Waterway, so why did you quit?
It was in the Adirondacks, not Maine.
Oh. Well,
you
I mean...
You go, girl.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I guess we've set up... This is where our story has taken place. Because people apparently like to go canoeing.
They do.
I don't understand it myself. But I don't understand a lot of things that people like to do, so we don't need to go into it.
Jen has the world's strongest shoulders.
Yeah!
You know what? I have the world's strongest shoulders from carrying you and this show and everything else around me.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Hang
on. Hold on a second.
I gotta wrest control of this from you.
No. Okay, do you want to do all the recording and engineering? Okay. Are you going to do that?
Yeah, well, yeah. I could spend
that. Well, I might as well, because I've got so much other stuff.
So, never mind our petty squabbles, audience. We're going to...
Sorry.
In case there's any... If anybody's thinking aloud, geez, Maine is an awesome state, and I wish my state was as cool as that. I will now field any questions from the gallery if they have any questions about awesome Maine that is not... totally filled with opioids, etc.
How many Bigfoots do you have in Maine?
Most of them.
That's not true. There's more in the Pacific Northwest.
You know what? Why, since we're saying it, since Portland, Oregon, and no, I won't say it how they say it, who thinks they're the superior Portland, even though they were named after my Portland. Why is it always the Pacific Northwest? What's the Northwest that's not the Pacific? Like, what is it?
The
Northwest of the country touches the Pacific. Why do you need the
Alaska?
Pacific?
Alaska? I don't know. I'm sorry you're so angry about it. I don't know. Idaho?
It doesn't make
something that's not touching the ocean? Northeast. A part of the country that's not touching the ocean, maybe?
Atlantic Northeast. Doesn't that sound dumb?
No, I don't. I'll Google it.
Carry on. Let somebody from the Pacific Northwest, like those smug people at Thinking Sideways who live in that other Portland.
They can tell us. Or my friend... Marion, whose name I've been saying wrong because it's spelled like Marianne.
Because
she lives in... Marine. You know, Miriam, whatever.
Marnie.
Marion can tell me why it's called that because she lives in Bend, Oregon.
Oh.
You're good. Excellent. Tell us. You tell us, Malamut.
Malamut? What is that?
That's her other name.
That's her other name.
Native American name. Now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The stage is set for our story. It was 1976. Everybody looked sweaty all the time. And weed was really weak and super plentiful. And somewhere in Ohio, a monster baby was born. part human, ooh, part crow, and offended that there were only two options for sex on her birth certificate. This terrible infant grew up to be our own fellow companion, Jen Martinelli. Yay!
What?
What?
Oh my gosh. Is this a real script?
Hey, guess what? Dude, I wasn't born in Ohio. Learn my life. You're such a fail. You're such a fail.
How do you know?
How do I know? Because I know where I was born. I have a fucking birth certificate.
Do you know? You're dumb. Yes. Anyway, I myself was 44 years old in 1976.
So you are 102.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's almost 102.
So now it's time to talk about the actual mystery. Now you guys have been screwing around long enough. Now that we know where it is and when it is, we're going to start talking about the Allagash incident. And I'm just going to call it an incident because I don't want to give anything away yet. But I do want to tell everybody that there will be a musical component to the program. The silver-tongued Jen Martinelli will be warbling for us actual important topical content. So, everybody get ready for that. And make sure your headphones are snug in your head.
we're going to talk about. Suck so bad now.
Four friends who were all from Massachusetts. They all met at or were currently attending the Massachusetts College of Art, which, honestly, when I was researching the story, I kept shut it. I kept wondering why every time like something happened, they'd go, so I drew a quick sketch of it. I could not if somebody said, draw a 3D transparent box, I'm your guy.
otherwise, not so much.
After that, I got nothing. Nothing's happening.
Can you draw that like chain of S's that everybody drew in school?
Nope, too
like,
old.
Where it's like pointing on top and then it's like.
Oh, I know. I see it and I realize I think that's what separates Generations X from the millennials is that thing.
I'm not a millennial.
Yeah, but you never drew it in school.
Yeah, I did.
But you just said.
I was like the last generation that did it.
Oh, well, all right. So you're the transition phase.
You're our same generation, Christy.
Yeah, you're X.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, I'm not a millennial.
You shouldn't be rude. Words. All right. Well, these guys, who obviously must be baby boomers, and they're still alive, which sucks, but Charles Fultz. Oh, God. Jim Weiner.
goodness.
His twin brother, Jack Weiner.
Oh, no.
That is terrible. Why do their parents hate them?
The awesomely named Chuck Rack.
Chuck Rack?
Yes.
These are not real Chuck names. Rack.
How are these real names?
Hey, who showed up for the fight? Jack Weiner. Damn it. Yeah, but Chuck Rack's coming too. Sweet.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it turned out that this guy, Charles Fultz, ended up being the neighbor of the Weiner brothers. And they all became friends over the years. And they decided, they said, listen, we want to go to Maine and take this outdoorsy trip. And he was like, sure. And in one of the things I watched, he said, yeah, well, we wanted to go to Mount Katahdin and then do the Allagash. Except those are nowhere near each other whatsoever. Like, so
yeah, I was gonna say,
like, they're opposite ends of, and there's nothing. It's like driving across the Everglades. Like, if you want to go from Boca to like Fort Myers, the drive in between, imagine that, but no water except for lakes and black flies as big as babies.
I camped in Baxter State Park, which is where Katahdin is, and that's really. We lost cell service like 2 hours before we got there. Yeah. Like, there's nothing. You're in the middle of nowhere.
It's basically, if Maine disappeared, it would take like a week for anyone to find out.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the way we like it.
See? That is so you, that grumpy old man.
So the way to get to the Allagash is to take a bush plane.
Of course.
Because driving there is dumb. So what they did was just four buddies got a plane somehow, and they had to take two trips because it could only be the pilot and two people. And they took all this stuff, and they got dumped in one end of the Allagash. And the goal was to go, like, to the other end. So it's like a camping adventure type dealio. Yeah. And it was the 70s. They were getting back to nature, whatever, whatever. And every time canoeing?
They're canoeing?
Yes, canoeing.
So were they a canoe in the plane?
No, they brought the canoe in the plane. Then the plane dropped them and the canoe off.
That's what I'm saying. So there was a canoe inside this time. I'm just trying
to. No, it was on the pontoon. It's funny that you say that. Oh! So they actually mentioned it. It didn't fit in the overhead of the bush plane.
I was going to say.
Imagine that.
Yeah, right?
I know. That does not qualify as carry-on.
No. not even inflatable ones? Sir, get out of here.
Sir, get out of here.
Every time I went down the research rabbit hole for this thing, I kept seeing that it was like the most well-documented incident of its kind. And the more I dug about it, the more I realized it's the most documented because the guys never shut up. They talk about it all the time.
Oh my goodness.
Oh God.
Like constant.
Like they go get a cup of coffee every morning and talk about it.
I think if we call them right now, if we just decided, you know what, fuck it, Katie is not going to tell the story. Let's just have them tell it. If we just call, like, they tell the whole.
Let me tell you about that.
Let's Skype them right now. Bring them right into the chat. Okay.
I'll email them the link.
Yes.
It's good thinking. Just you email Jack Wiener and see. Just Jack Wiener at everything. You know, Gmail, Hotmail, Yahoo.
Yeah. It'll get to him eventually.
Prodigy.
That's right.
Exactly. CompuServe.
I'm going to... Here's the Jen part. I'm giving you a little something to start, Jen, because I know that you're going to be skeptical, but I wanted I wanted to find out what there were for facts.
Okay.
So... There is one book written about this incident, and it look up the incident. You'll find a bunch of copies of this one guy's book that's like the definitive story of what happened. And then there's another book that just basically says it's all bullshit. So,
all right. I like that book.
That's now the guy that wrote the book that says it's true is that. His name is Ray Fowler, and he actually says that he was abducted in Danvers, Massachusetts. So I don't know whether he's just got a thing for abductions or that's how they found him, because there's a little bit of murky part in the middle there where they...
Murky.
Yeah, you'll find out. But it also involves a fella named Anthony Constantino.
Learn how to say my people's names. Come on.
Hey, but it's me, Mario.
You're such a dickhead. You're such a piece of shit.
Anyway, he's going to hypnotize.
Oh, my God.
He's going to hypnotize. I'm going to give him a pizza. All right.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
So, our four people, remember, Charles Faltz, Jim and Jack Wiener, and Chuck Rack, who's there just in case trouble broke out.
I feel like Chuck Rack needs his own sound effect. Like, every time we say his name, there should be like a whoosh, a noise.
Yeah.
Like a punch.
Oh, damn it.
Like Jaguar on Rick and Morty.
Exactly. Now, I call day one, the fellas sucked at paddling. That's the name. If I was writing,
that's the name of the chapter.
That's the name of the chapter.
The fellas sucked at.
And we're going to talk about the idea of, because now, and I'm going to say, since I already kind of alluded to it, there are people that say this is a bunch of hush shit. So,
right.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying what I think either way right now, but I am going to point out, you remember that movie Sliding Doors before everybody hated Gwyneth Paltrow? Where, like, if one thing happens differently, everything can change, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't see it, but I remember. But
like, yeah, butterfly effect, whatever.
I know
whatever.
What it's about, yeah.
The set of circumstances that got these four boobs into the situation that they got into is not what, I guess I'll put it this, it's not what they planned. You know what I mean? Like, it, so it seems like...
stuff happened to cause...
Yeah, it's a series of crazy-ass shit that happened.
Right.
And the first one, so I bring up the Sliding Doors thing because if everything had gone right the first day, we might not have this show because they might have gone past whatever happens.
Right.
They hadn't sucked at paddling so much.
Gotcha.
On the first day, they only got half as far as they wanted to get.
How far did they get?
Not, well, half.
Oh, you don't know an amount in miles? Sorry.
I don't know in miles. It's like how you can't dig half a hole. Like, any hole is a hole, so...
No, I understand. I just thought you might...
No, I don't have... I don't have that information. Like, wait, I'll flip through my note cards like I had it, and now and I'll say I can't find it. Or I'll do another podcast thing that says, oh, no, they never said in the hours of research that I did, which is just code for I don't fucking know.
Right.
But since they only got half as far as they wanted to get on the first day, and I guess that's kind of the fun of it, except... if you don't like setting up campsites and taking down campsites, then it would be the shittiest part of it.
Oh God, that is the worst.
See?
That was a little annoying about my trip. Every single night we had to set up a campsite and take
it. Yeah, it's like you're a gypsy. That's shit. Yeah. Like, no one wants to be a gypsy.
The only part of camping that I really don't like is like having to set it up and then, oh my gosh, you're so tired, but you have to break it all down and you have to like put it away correctly because... Yeah. The next otherwise, time you go, it's going to be a huge effing mess.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have the right poles.
She said effing. She's like our...
She did. Oh, she's so angel. She's so adorable.
You can say frack, Christy.
Oh, I'm watching Battlestar Galactica.
Oh!
I think we should finally pay attention started to it. The show.
What?
Oh, you're not watching it now?
No.
Yeah, she's watching it now. She's watching it now.
So...
like... I don't have that much disrespect for you.
Fair enough. I guess we see where you draw your line.
I'm watching three shows right now.
That's great. So since they only got half as far as they wanted, they had to find a campsite near where they ended up. Because as you guys say, you're probably just, I'm fucking tired now. So now I have to do another tiring chore. Yeah, camping sucks. And the camping site... that they found apparently was so windy and shitty. And this was August, by the way. Now,
it was.
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't
like November. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It was probably fall ish. Hmm. I would assume.
I mean, I went camping in July and it was hot as fuck in Maine.
Yeah, no, it still gets hot there, but I'm saying it was kind of far north, so the leaves turn earlier. But it wouldn't have been like cold. It was just shitty camping.
Windy.
So, and it was so shitty that apparently they just said fuck it, and they took their whole camper pot and they went somewhere else where there was some other people camping. And that brings me into there were other people in the wilderness.
Is so that now, chapter two?
No. Chapter two has its own title. Thank you very much.
That's like when we camped next to the people and we thought they were going to murder us. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like that. You're like, you get to your campsite, people, you're like, oh shit, there's other people here? Okay, go ahead.
Well, these people were missing two of their group. Like, they were two guys, like 18 and 19 years old. The people at the campsite were all worked up because they couldn't find them. And the main issue with everything is that this is middle of nowhere, see so many stars that you think it's fake.
Yeah.
There's no sound. Like, that's another weird thing about way up there. There's, like, no frogs or crickets or anything like that. Like, you might hear a loon, but other than that, it's fucking completely quiet, except for the slapping stomachs of copulating Bigfoots.
That's like the harbinger that there is something bad, is when there's no insects, no birds, no frogs, nothing.
Except
like,
a loon. True. Scary-ass loon cry. We should have that sound effect, but you should jot that down there.
Alright, I'm jotting it down. Scary-ass loon.
That's good jotting. So, them being, you know, helpful fellas, they said, well, we'll help you look for your two missing people, because the hot, it gets so dark there that if you, like, you can't go anywhere. Like, if you're just stuck. Like, it's like you're in a closet. So, they started looking around, and eventually they all saw a light.
Oh, God.
And when I say they all saw a light, I mean our four heroes and apparently the other people at the camp.
Saw a light.
They saw a light. And they expected, based on their assumptions, that it was over Eagle Lake, which they were kind of near. It was super, super bright, and it was only there for like 30 seconds or so. Now.
Interesting.
And it was a circle. Like, it was a big light ball. And one of the wieners looked at his binoculars. And he said, and remember, they were all like nerdy art dorks. And he said that the outside of the ball looked like, if you looked inside a kiln, it was almost like plasma. It looked so hot. Like, ooh, it was all shimmery and stuff like that.
Okay.
Weird.
My first thought was, if you see a really bright light, why would the first thing you do be look at it with binoculars? Like,
right.
Like,
yeah, you're going to burn your retinas.
Hey, look at the eclipse. Let's look. So as it turned out,
Wait, I just want to say, it cracks me up when Acadia says things in this kind of, like, hicky way, like, hey, look, an eclipse! With the emphasis. Do you know what I mean? It's great. Okay, go ahead.
They found the two guys at the shitty campsite that they had abandoned.
Okay.
They went to bed. But they all saw this big light bulb.
Wait, so they found the guys, and then they all went back to the other campsite.
Okay.
Okay. I can dig it.
So that was day one. So if this was a movie, like, it would, like, you'd see the sunset or some shit like that, and then the sun would come up, and the title above the sun would say, day two, paddling skills do not improve. The name of day two. Because
that's so great.
Is this a Wes Anderson movie?
Yeah, I guess so.
I know.
Charlie, not to be confused with Chuck, but Charlie said that at one point they were paddling like for 15 minutes and they were still looking at the same bush because they were getting nowhere. Because apparently...
Were they paddling upstream? What was going on?
It was all upstream. They were? Like, that seems like the least fun way to do it. Why would you not start at the upstream?
Why not just hike?
Yeah, why? That's like walking on your hands. You should not. Like, it's dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
No, none.
That was another one of the reasons I thought it was fishy. Now, going the other way would be great because you wouldn't really have to do anything. It just push you down, you know, on your own.
Well, then maybe they're these like city art students, and they didn't realize
they're like
how bad the current was going to be.
This direction. It doesn't matter which way we go. It's like a road, but with
and the plane's like, yeah, it's your $25, so I'll put you wherever you want, there, dummies.
That's exactly right.
Massholes.
Massholes. Oh, Maine hates. Maine hates massholes. Oh, geez.
We hate them. Oh, it's because we're bitter that we used to be part of you.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's because
we're bitter because we have electricity and cell phones.
That's
such baggage.
So they couldn't paddle. So then the next plan was get out and hold on to the rope of the canoe and walk along the bank and drag the canoe in the water. Oh, and that made them even more tired.
Yeah.
So they went to bed.
Like, they basically got nowhere the second day.
And then they just went to bed.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
They're terrible at this.
They're really bad at this. Really, really bad.
Did they go back to the same campsite?
Nope. They didn't go backwards. They just... it was a
non-descript. Like 50 yards up the bay.
I know. That's just like... they moved over 5 feet. And
they went behind a tree so the other people wouldn't see them. Like, that's how far they got. They went to bed. And then... the next morning, they found the portage, which I learned is the part where it's portage's land boat. Oh, yeah, well, you can't take your boat because there's just land here. So this is where you pick up your boat and carry it to the next thing of water.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, this is the most hateful trip.
Yeah, but it's like built into it. Like, yeah, that's actually a
thing. We had to do that. We had to do that. We had to carry our canoe like a mile through the woods with all our backpacks and stuff. So there
I can see like in my head, like you've got the canoe upside down, like
it's really hard to do that. We would just carry it next to us. It's really hard to put it on top. If you're two people and you've got the boat, it's bad.
That's fucked up.
It's very
like
hard.
I'd be like in the Olympics if you made Michael Phelps like swim across the pool and get out and then walk. Run and jump into another pool. Like it's just
That
would just be a like sweet event, actually.
Well, so like when we did our thing, so it was like the thing we did was 85 miles, but they were like, of the whole 85 miles, it's like, you know, 3 miles of it was portages. It's not that much. It's like short little.
Gotcha.
That sounds
it's still
like
fucking
much.
Hard, though.
But that let me tell like you, much. Like, for me, after 2 days like they had, I'd have been like, bye.
Well, yeah, the going upstream thing is terrible. That's terrible. That doesn't make sense. That's stupid.
Let's just camp and drink beer.
Yeah. Let's just.
That would make way more sense
to
me.
The beer.
But they didn't.
All right, they didn't.
They went to day three. Butt stuff.
Oh no.
Well, not really. I just like saying butt stuff.
Of course you do.
I'll tell you what really happened. Exactly. Yep.
That one caught me off guard.
That's what really happened.
Sorry, that was perfect.
That is the nastiest, like, wet fart I've ever heard.
Yeah, right? That's a check yourself.
That's a excuse me.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Have to throw away those underwears. So after they did their little portage, they were in Eagle Lake, which is this big lake, and they actually got to the Thoreau campsite.
Okay,
so good for them.
Like, finally, good for them.
Which I think is where they actually thought they were going to get the first day, and they didn't get it till the third day. But whatever, I am pretty convinced that they probably smoked like a ton of weed.
Right.
Probably.
And that's probably why they couldn't paddle, because like the canoe was still tied to the mouth or some shit.
They, like,
you know, like
didn't know what they were doing at all. They were like paddling backwards.
Yeah. Like time slowed down. They're just like
Cheech and Chong in a canoe, like facing each other and both of them paddling like
that. And then like just human behavior. They literally get to Thoreau campsite and like one guy is like, "Yeah, we made it, guys," and everybody else is like, "Fuck off!" Like, yeah,
exactly.
This trip sucks.
This like, sucks. Right, right. Get the plane back.
Shut up, Jack.
Yeah, Chuck. Don't feel Chuck's pissed. So they were super tired. It had taken them 3 days to get 1 day away.
Right.
And they didn't have tons of, how would I say this, supplies for camping.
Oh no.
And there's conflicting accounts. Like other people that write about the story say that they really didn't have a ton of food. They don't say that some themselves, but why would
they?
Yeah,
of course not.
Like, yeah, we're fucking idiots. Right. So their plan was,
oh god,
to go fishing at night. Okay. Otherwise known as night fishing.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
night fishing for guys like me and you. They looked up and saw a bright light behind their small canoe. So they tried to book it, but deep down they knew that it would catch them. But little did the poor guys know, their junk was in danger. The next thing they all knew, they were safe and sound until they fell asleep. Night fishing.
That was beautiful, Jen.
It was awesome.
You are. And by the way, since I wrote all the lyrics, I think I get the Grammy. How does that work?
You can get the Grammy for songwriting. I can get it for performing.
Oh, all right. Well, that's
so you both get one.
And we both get Chrissy one.
He gets one for spoken word, for saying
that's F. Right.
That's right.
So
sticking it to the establishment.
That's right. I'll show you rated R. So the gang was going to go out fishing, and they actually had a solid plan. Since it's pitch black, they would build a big-ass fire on their campsite like a lighthouse. So they would be like, hey, well, we're done fishing because this was as dumb as every other idea we've had on this trip. Let's go back to the campsite. Oh, shit, where is it?
Yeah.
It's where the big fire is. Or they would burn the island down and that would light their way to somewhere else. Whichever way you slice it.
Yeah, because honestly, it could go either way with the way this trip has gone
exactly.
So far.
So they're out there fishing, and the light comes back.
Of course, as it does.
They said it came up over the trees and actually moved this time. It like moved towards them. They said it was really super weird because it didn't make any sound at all. It was like completely silent, because you'd think it would be going like those things in Frankenstein movies. They were just super weirded out, and so Charlie for some reason got, you know, those big square flashlights?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he had one of those, and he did the SOS, like, Morse code thing. Like, he kept putting his hand over the front of it.
Yeah, right.
Like, aiming it at the light, because it stayed around for, like, a long time this time. And he actually admitted, he's like, well, I did SOS, because that was the only Morse code I knew.
See?
So,
Amelia Earhart.
Because he doesn't listen to Morse code 911.
That's right.
Everybody died. So when he does that, or like soon after that, the ball started coming towards him and it alarmed them. And
hey guys, what's up?
The ball is coming near us, and we've already established how bad we are at paddling. So,
right, exactly.
That clip we heard in the beginning was one of the Wiener boys talking about what happened after the light. But when the light was coming at them, they all basically said, no, this thing's going to catch us for sure. Like, there's no natural governor on how fucking fast a floating light ball should go. So they couldn't say, right. Yeah, no, it can't go faster than a sailboat. No way. Because
right.
I have a frame of reference for something like this. But
right.
All that happened was the ball was gaining on them. And they got to the campsite, and the ball was like behind them, still out over the lake. And fucking Dingus does his little fucking SOS thing again. Like, it didn't cause trouble the first time. So, right. Hey, well, you know, that it made it chase us. So let's see what it does now. Maybe money will fall out of it. So he just did the SOS thing again. But this time the ball went away.
It was probably like, oh, you guys are stupid.
Yes, the ball's like,
look at these morons. Determined.
I thought you were trying to communicate, but I think you're just flashing.
You're just idiots.
Never mind.
Excuse me, Remulac, did you catch that light down there on the shore?
Oh, God.
Yes, sir, but it doesn't seem to be any intelligent life.
Oh, fine. So,
oh, God.
They were back at their campsite, safe and sound. Just like the song said, except what the song didn't say, was that their big giant fire that they had lit was burned all the way down.
Like too
to
fast.
The point where Charlie was like, hey, do you want me to put some more wood on the fire? Which would never be something that you ask. Like, if you're in a group of four guys, why would you be like the bitch of it? To go, hey, guy, hey, Chuck, do you want me to put some wood on the fire? Like, right, no, I just no, don't just buy do that. But
right,
you either whatever. Do it or you don't do it, or you just get too lazy to chop wood and you get a big branch that fell and just put the end of it in the fire and then just like keep moving it over as it burns.
Yeah. Hope it doesn't smoke too much at one end.
That's a good camping move. So they're all like, no, fuck the fire. And they went to bed because they were exhausted. Now, the next day, they were still fucking fiddle fucking around with their canoe, sucking fiddle at camping.
Fucking around.
But the only important part of the whole thing is that they met a ranger and they said,
Ranger.
Yep.
Thank you. Yes.
And actually, in Maine,
a ranger.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even a ranger. I am sure that it was a game warden. And this is an actual another true fact. In Maine, game wardens have jurisdiction over everything, including the state police.
Interesting.
What?
Game wardens are the ultimate, like, cop authority. Like, they can't, like, overturn laws and stuff, but they are, like, if something happened in a wilderness area and, like, if two cops and if two city cops and two state cops had a shootout, like, the game wardens would come in and go, yeah, no, we're in charge of this.
We're in charge. Get out of here.
Now, so they were like, hey, buddy, we saw this big light ball in the sky. And the warden said, nope. I think what you saw there, sonny, was there's a new hardware store in Millinocket, and they had them big Hollywood searchlights up in the sky, and that's probably what you've seen. And they were like,
seriously?
Yeah, we're from Massachusetts, and even we know that, like, Millinocket's on the other side of a fucking mountain, and that's not how searchlights work. They go up in the sky, not back down to the lake and chase you to the shore.
Right, exactly. No, that's not legit.
But I'm sure that the game
was he an alien?
Pot smoking mass holes. Gotta get out of here. I'll just tell him that probably. There was a searchlight.
He's like, whatever, there's a light. Get out of here. Sure.
Whatever.
Get back in your Datsun, you fucks. So that is the entire story of them going to the Allagash in 1976. That's the end of the first part of the Allagash incident, which turned out to just be a story about people who camp badly.
Right?
Who are really bad at camping.
And one fellow who antagonizes spacemen. Or at least
with his flashlight.
Yeah. Or something. Or something.
Like, I would have thought that Chuck Rack would have been the one that did that.
Chuck Rack!
But Chuck Rack would have been, I'm going to fucking huck a pine cone at it.
Square off.
Yeah, let's fucking come at me, space bro.
Space bro.
So next week, we're going to find out what the crap happened after that.
Yes.
Because we're going to go out of the woods. We're going to leave Maine. And the story is going to suck. Because as soon as you get out of Maine, everything goes right downhill. Because where are you? New Hampshire.
I died in a chair.
God, you know what? I'm becoming immune. Might be the.
He didn't even flinch that time.
Nope, because I'm full of dope. I'm a walking. Oh! I'm a walking.
Save it.
Opioid epidemic. Oh Jesus, folks!
Jen just stuck her foot up to the webcam.
Folks, I don't like it.
That was the best thing that ever happened.
Send all your feet pictures to at Acadia on
Twitter.
Yes! Oh my god.
Oh my god. Please do. Oh my god. It's so sad.
My life going to work is a nightmare until fall. Like, it's just sandals everywhere. Oh, my God. Like, I'm these crying. Fucking people don't, like, why? If your fucking toes look like
mine are nice. There's nothing wrong with my toes.
A bunch of French fries just stuck in the box all jumbled up together and shit like that. Don't wear a sandal. Like,
but it doesn't even matter, guys, because you could have perfectly normal feet and he's still upset. He just is scared of feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Charlotte McKinney. And she has really weird long, I think it's a long toes thing. Like, they have to be long like fingers. Tingers.
That's good or that's good or that's bad?
That scares me less.
Really?
It does?
I don't know why. I'm not saying I understand it.
You are such a weirdo.
I'm
total weirdo.
I do not deny it, and I'm not going to try to explain it. So, like we said, next week, I know you're riveted now because based on what a fucking nonstop thrill ride the first half of this story was, what the hell could happen that would make it more exciting? Butt stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
God.
And no fair asking. Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe someone will answer us about the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Before next week. And we'll do. Right. Oh, that would be exciting. Yeah. Try to get Marlon on that, Jen.
I'm sorry.
Help us, Marmaduke. Tell us.
Just so you know, by the way, he's being a dick about that, but we also call him like all kinds of names that start with A. Like Adolf, Anselm, Arcadia.
Oh, I hate Arcadia so much.
I know. It's great. It's the best.
I hate that.
Arthur. Anything that starts with an A,
yep,
we call him that. So
Arcade Fire always made me laugh.
Arcade Fire's good. Yeah.
That's a good one.
So, I mean, I didn't expect that this was going to be a two-parter because it's both fascinating but seemingly super humdrum. Hmm.
Yeah.
Much like all famous adventure stories.
Exactly.
Right?
Just tune in next time to see.
Don't worry. When you get to next week and you find out the next part of the story, it's a mystery that's unsolved.
Ooh, Robert Stark. Best. Yes.
Nice.
So, if you have any questions or praise, find me at Acadia. If you have scathing hate and mansplaining, it's at Jen Martinelli. And if you wondered if we have an actual official show Twitter, you can tweet at StrangefulPod. And if you ever get a reply, you will know that it is the one and only
Christy.
That's right.
Yay!
And the gallery's all new now. And if it wasn't for the gallery, there wouldn't be any Strangeful Things. So we love you, blessed gallery mother. you could join us at the Batcave, except Christy killed it. We'll never fix it. And you've really angered Britain.
Apparently.
That's right.
Britain's
right? Very angry.
Yeah,
yes.
She's mad.
I made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, you have angered our former rulers. And
I guess that's it until
next week. It's sad. I miss Chuck Rack already.
Chuck Rack.
I really would like to settle down with you two and a couple wieners and spend the rest of the night.
Oh my God.
But we can't.
Come on. No, we can't. We gotta go. We gotta go, kids.
We have to do mysteries and whatnot.
Yeah, we gotta do mysteries.
All right, bye.
Bye.
This episode of Strangeful Things was brought to you in part by financial support from Wayne Enterprises. Look what we can do. And by added support from listeners like you. Please visit patreon.com/strangeful to support the show. And thanks for listening.